So we're starting a new series in Yane, or an old series, in Yane ben Adam l'chaveiro. We'll do different topics on mitzvahs ben Adam l'chaveiro, but tonight we'll probably go more into a introduction, some differences between mitzvahs ben Adam l'makom ben Adam l'chaveiro, and then in the following weeks we'll pick more specific mitzvahs and go through them. So the Ramban points out, and based on the Gemara Kedushin, based on the Aseres HaDibros, that we know the Torah was given on the two tablets, Shnei Luchos, so why two, why not ten, why not one? So of course there's the joke, and then there's the real answer. So the joke they say over is because they went to all the Medrash says they went to the nations of all the world and said, what's in it? They said, "Lo sirtzach, not for me. I can't do that. Lo sinach, not for me." He went to the Jews not to commit adultery, not to murder. And then he said, "So we went to the Jews." They said, "How much is it?" He said, "Free. We'll take two." That's the joke why it's two. But the real reason it's two is because the two shows the two different categories. The first five represent commandments between man and God. The second five represent categories, but Adam l'chaveiro, interpersonal. And of course, so why is kivud ava'im, honoring one's parents, seems to be on the wrong side of the luchos? So that's what many explain. The Minchas Chinuch has the yisod, as well as many others, that it's the perfect transition because the Gemara tells us in Kedushin, we have three creators, God, Mommy, and Daddy. And therefore, really, but kivud ava'im, honoring one's parents, is both a mitzvah ben adam l'makom and adam l'chaveiro. So it's the perfect transition between commandments ben adam l'makom and adam l'chaveiro. So what are some fundamental differences between? Of course, there's a third category as well, ben adam li'atzmo, as maybe we'll touch on also. That's how the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Ashol shedvarim ha'olam omid. On three things the world stands, ala Torah, v'al avoda, v'gumilas chasadim. And that corresponds to, we know that the Torah tells us, v'chai b'hem. It's you shall live by them. It's a religion that celebrates life and not death. And that's why they point out that when God appeared to Abraham, the first thing on the thing is lech lecha. We all know, based on the Midrashim, there was Orakastim when he jumped into the fire. So that's what the Mepharshim pointed out. The Torah is a Torah's Chayim. It talks about how one lives. So it corresponds to the big three. They're, normally, we assume for 610 mitzvahs, Yavor v'ayarog, violate the Avera and go ahead and do the sin. And if you have to, if someone's sick and you have to drive to the hospital, you have to Machal Shabbos, go ahead and do it. As the Gemara says, better to machal Shabbos echa, better to desecrate one Shabbos than to keep many more. And that's my Thursday night policy in the winter. Better when it's snowing, better to miss one shir that I could continue to give many others. But either way, so that's the klal in general, 610 mitzvahs. But for three mitzvahs, you have to give up your life for idol worship, adultery, illicit relations, and murder. So the 610 makes sense. It makes sense for me to violate Shabbos once, to eat treif once, and to keep many mitzvahs. Why can't I just worship idol, do avodah zarah once, and a big deal? Well, maybe not, maybe it is a big deal, but let me do it once, and then I'll go on. After that, I could be able to worship God and do all the other mitzvahs. So apparently, Chazal are telling us that there are three mitzvahs that they cross the line. What line are they crossing? So each one represents a different category. So we said there's been Adam l'makom, there's commandments between man and God. So what's the opposite end? What's the worst I could do in terms of serving God? There's many things I could do in the intermediate, but to go to the other extreme, you worship idols, that's the end of the line of ben Adam l'makom. But I'm a chaver, I could treat people nicely, I could not talk to them nicely, I could hit them, slap them, make fun of them. But the ultimate, at the end of the line, is when I murder someone else. I've crossed the boundaries of at the end of the other side of Be'eda Machavero. And the third one, Gila Rayis, so Torah, that represents the category of Bet Adam Liatzmo, a person's own potential. That's why today we live in a society where, let's say someone commits adultery, that happens quite often, but the issue is not concerned with the adultery part per se, it's how could you do that to your spouse? Meaning you're hurting her feelings, you're hurting his feelings, but it's not the issue that the actual act of adultery, there's something wrong with it. So, but the Torah recognizes the Bet Adam Liatzmo, who you're hurting yourself. You're killing yourself, you go into the other extreme. So these three, the big three, represent, as the Vilna Gaon puts it, these three categories. So Bet Adam Lamakom, Bet Adam Lachavero, and Bet Adam Liatzmo. We'll see that Bet Adam Liatzmo is a lot of time intertwined, we'll see, with mitzvahs, Bet Adam Lachavero. When we get to different mitzvahs like Hakaras HaTov or other things, we'll see how they tie in.
No, you should go back to Abbas. You said Ashur is very well known.
Yes, then right, then it says, you know, but the Abbas as well, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov.
No, the Tibriki Abbas, Ashur is very well known.
Yes.
It's the three there.
Yes, so the Torah, Avodah, Gemilas, Chasadim. So Torah, you know, so Avodah is the Benel Lamakom, the Gemilas, Chasadim, and then the Torah, that's, you know, one's potential. There's Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, they also say Avram's Chesed, Yitzhak's Gura, Bet Adam Lamakom and Yaakov, there are many other categories of three, but those are the three basic categories. So we'll focus on Bet Adam Lachavero, but really Bet Adam Liatzmo is going to be part and parcel of many of the mitzvahs. Bet Adam Lachavero is also built in, is a Bet Adam Liatzmo, and the question we'll discuss is like, which is even the Iker? Is it fundamentally a mitzvah Bet Adam Liatzmo, or is it basically a mitzvah Bet Adam Lachavero? But one of the fundamental differences between mitzvahs ben adam lamakom and ben adam chavero is that when the Torah gives us different mitzvahs, the Torah sometimes is concerned with the action, and other times this Torah is concerned with the tzotzah, with the result. So for instance, when it comes to, let's say, Shabbos, so the Torah says Osasa Kol Malacha. It's the act of Chilul Shabbos that the Torah is concerned with, the Maisa. So therefore, if there's a grama on Shabbos, you violate Shabbos indirectly, Amir Lenachri, according to most this week's parasha, is only a drabbanan. So if you're Shevi Al Tasa, it's pretty hard to violate Shabbos on a deraisa level, because the Torah is concerned with the act, not the result. So even if the result happened, if you didn't do the act in the way the Torah prescribed, you are not labeled on a Torah level a machal Shabbos. But let's say the Rambam writes, let's say by gram ritzicha, let's say by murder, you tie someone up and a lion comes and eats them up. So even though you might not get capital punishment, but you are labeled a rotzeach. So what's the distinction? Why, when it comes to Shabbos, grama by Shabbos, you're not labeled a machal or Shabbos? But when it comes to, let's say, ritzicha, perhaps nezikin, we see even if that when you do it indirectly, it's still labeled a rotzeach. And that's what the Mefarshim explained, because by Rogachev and others, that ritzicha, we're interested in the bottom line, the tzotzah. I don't really care how you killed this person, whether you used your hands, you took out a knife, you took out a machine gun, you took a hanger, whatever object you use really isn't the ikker. It's the fact is the person's dead. That's the major issue here. And therefore, so when it comes to the result, we're not really interested in terms of, you're still labeled, even if it's indirect, you're still labeled as a rotzeach. You're not going to get the same onshin for other technical reasons. When it comes to Shabbos, the ikar is the maitza. So within Bet Adam Lamakom, you have certain mitzvahs going in different directions. But by Bet Adam Lachavero, the focus is of Bet Adam Lachavero, the ikar is the totzah. The ikar is the end result. In other words, that's how I spent 3 hours doing Nicham Aveilah. My son was distraught. They just lost a loved one. I went over to their house, Shiva, Nicham Aveilah. And I read the person was really depressed, and you did a tremendous job, and they felt much better after. Then you walk out, I can't believe it, I forgot to have in mind that I was doing the mitzvah of Nicham Aveilim. So the point being is, it's not. In other words, as we'll see, I mean that's a similar thing, but that's what Rosh Shlomo Zalman writes as well in terms of the concept of mitzvah sriches kavana. The Minchas Chinuch writes it all the time that mitzvah sriches kavana is totally if it's a ma'isa mitzvah. He discusses it in many places, but one is by Tashbisu. Machokas in the Gemara, Rabbi Huda, Rav Shimon, whether Tashbisu b'chol davar, you have to burn it. And then further the Machokas, Rashi and Tosis. Fundamental Machokas, let's say, what is the nature of the mitzvah? Let's say, come Erev Shabbat, come Erev Pesach, and I don't have any chametz left. Do I have to go out and like buy chametz in order to go ahead and burn it? In other words, is the nature is the mitzvah of a kum va'aseh? Well, no, by hook or by crook, as long as I don't own chametz, I don't have to actually go in and destroy any chametz. If I planned it well, it's great. I have no chametz to destroy. So the Minchas Chinuch always gives a nafkamina, he gets into the chotev mitzvah. The Gemara's example in Chulin is by kiseh hadam, that after you shuck certain animals, you have a mitzvah of covering up the blood with the animal, you cover up the blood. So the question, let's say, and the halacha is, the one who does the shechita, he gets first dibs at the mitzvah. So let's say, someone did the shechita, he's about to put the blood on the kisa adam, and someone, like it's football season, someone goes, a linebacker comes, knocks the guy over, and he goes ahead, and he does the kisa adam. So they point out, So that's the Gemara's case, Yechotev Mitzvah. You go ahead, you have to pay Asara Zehuvim. So it gets into what's considered taking someone's mitzvah, what's not. So Rav Shlomo Zalman and others point out that this concept of mitzvah striches kavana, we find out all the examples in the Gemara by mitzvah b'adam l'makom. But not by b'adam chaveru, if I didn't have the kavana during Bikur Cholim, during Nicham Aveilim, I helped out that person, that's the Yikr. When it comes to Be'al Makom, we're more concerned about the Makshava than we are. When it comes to Be'al Machavero, it's the bottom line. Like, for instance, the famous case they point out, next week's Parsha, by Yikach Moshe Atzmos Yosef, that, since I won't be here next week, so this will count for next week's year, I'll be in Florida. Yikach Moshe Atzmos Yosef, that Moshe took the bones of Yosef, as the Gemara in Sota says, Chacham Lev Yikach Mitzvahs. Everyone else was involved in the Bizo and Mitzrayim, and he went ahead. He had the wisdom to go ahead and be involved in the mitzvah. And Rashi tells us why wasn't Yosef buried? Why didn't Yosef go to Israel right away? Why didn't they bury him? He realized that they won't let him. When Yaakov was alive, Yosef still had the power. But when Yosef was alive, he knew it wasn't going to happen when he died, so he made the Jewish people the promise that they'd take the bones out of Mitzrayim. So it says, and so that's what Moshe did, but Yikach Moshe is Atzmos Yosef. So we see clearly that Moshe Rabbeinu took the bones of Yosef out of Mitzrayim, yet if we go to Sefer Yehoshua, we get a whole different viewpoint. The Pasuk says, V'ez Atzmos Yosef, Asher Helu, I'm paraphrasing, I don't have the exact Pasuk, talking about Asher Helu B'nei Yisrael. In other words, basically the Pasuk says, not only does the Pasuk give credit for the Jewish people for bringing the bones into Israel, which they actually did, but they even got credit for bringing the bones out of Mitzrayim. So the question is, so we have an apparent contradiction. The Gemara, the Pasuk in B'Shalach says, it gives Moshe credit. The Pasuk in Yoshua gives B'nei Yisrael credit. What gives? So Chazal tell us, a famous principle that we know called someone who begins a mitzvah. Of course, it's important to begin a mitzvah and end a mitzvah, and do the conclusion as well. But let's say one begins a mitzvah and someone else finishes the mitzvah. So Chazal tell us the one who finishes the mitzvah not only gets credit for finishing it, but he gets credit for the whole mitzvah. I'm not saying the other person doesn't get any scar, but in terms of the Yikr, the Gemara seems to Chazal that the one who finishes the mitzvah gets the credit. And in fact, so we see from here the closer is the Yikr. You know, one could have a debate: is it better to have a good starting pitcher or to have the best closer. You know, I always claim the Yankees wouldn't have won all those World Series if they didn't have the best closer in the league. But we could, you know, we could debate that issue. But already, Chazal already gave us the answer. The closer is the one, is the way to go. You get the credit for the... The problem is that's so simple. No, it's not, because there's another medrash which seems to tell us in the opposite direction. It's something we say in davening every day. Svaridim say it later. Ashkenaz do it before Baruch Shamar. We say, Mizmar Shir Chanukas Habayis L'Shlomo. Oh, you have a different text? You have with David? So Mizmar Shir Chanukas Habayis L'David. With David, what's going on? They're attributing the building of the Beis HaMikdash to David. Last I checked, David began the process, but Shlomo's the one who built it. So what's going on here? You just finished telling me that the Bnei Yisrael gets credit because they finished the mitzvah, we go by the closer. Yet over here, by David HaMelech, we see he gets credit, he began. So how do we reconcile? So there are two ways to attack the issue. We can attack the difference between David and Moshe, maybe the difference between David and Moshe, or we'll see, maybe there's a difference between Atmos Yosef and Binyamin HaMikdash. But this, Ramosha has a tshuva, and he talks parenthetically, he discusses this issue, and he takes the former, he wants to make a distinction between Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech. He says, why didn't David get credit? Like, why didn't David bring the bones of Yosef to Mitzrayim? Whose fault was it? Nobody but his own. Of course, on his level, but all the Mefarshim, I think, to come up with 13 different possibilities of what his sin was. And people say, you're adding, you keep on, Moshe did one sin, you keep on adding more and more. Whatever it was clear, he didn't go into Eretz Yisrael. He seemed to be some form of onish, that because he did something, God didn't let him go into, only he got to see the promised land. I guess it's a discussion, because he actually got into Eivar Yarden, and that's a discussion, whether that's Eretz Yisrael or not, but we'll leave that. Pashas, he didn't get to go into Eretz Yisrael. So, why didn't he go in? Because it was his own fault. And they point out that Moshe got, even though the Medrash seems to imply that everyone else was busy taking the gold and silver, but he gave Moshe the first choice. In other words, if Moshe Rabbeinu went to take in the bones of Yosef, he would have had got other volunteers. It wouldn't have been so hard to get other people to do it. So even if David didn't do it, he would have had someone else to do it. Masha'ein came by David. We know Achashalta Beis Hashem. David wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. He strived for it his whole life, and in fact, he even started doing things. And it wouldn't have been built, at least it would have been built eventually, probably, but not at the time it was built, not only because of all of David's efforts. So they explained the difference is by Moshe Rabbeinu, even without him, the job would have got done. But by David HaMelech, without him, the job wouldn't have got done. And that's why, by David, he gets credit, because without him, they never would have finished the job. However, by Moshe, would have happened, and interesting, the Piskei Tshuva quotes this Nakuda, he quotes the Shaila about Shadchanis, that we know the Rama writes, that this, it's a minhag, but really he brings down, one should pay a Shadchan, if someone sets you up, you know, to give a gift, whatever, and of course, the Satmar Rebbe likes to say, because Pidrush, Kabbalah, that Shadchan stands for Sheker Dover Kesef Nosein. And if you don't do the Kesef Nosein, you're only left with the Shin Dalet, Shei, demon. You don't want to start your marriage with this, the Shei. But either way, the Ramah brings down, you should pay. So the Shaila is, let's say someone goes out with someone, let's say someone set them up, they went out, a couple of days, weeks, months, it didn't work out. 2 or 3 years later, they say, how about going out with this person? Oh, yeah, I went out with them. Okay, let's go out again. Someone else sets you up. And it works this time. But they call in yeshivas a chozer v'neir, to borrow a Yoredeya term. So the child is, who gets paid the shadchanis money? The first shadchan or the second one? So there's a whole discussion in terms of would it still worked out without the first time. There's a lot of details, but the bottom line, many say that the second one definitely gets, and perhaps maybe they get 2/3 of it as opposed to 1/3. But it's a chosha mishpat shaila in terms of as well, in terms of how to pay. But that's how some want to explain the difference between Moshe and David. But I want to suggest a different shah, more on our topic, that perhaps the fundamental difference is between Atzmos Yosef versus Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Binyan Beis HaMikdash is the classical mitzvah ben Adam L'makom. What do you do in the Beis HaMikdash? It's karbanos, tefillah, avodas. That's the classic mitzvah ben Adam L'makom. Atzmos Yosef, we know the ultimate chesed shalemes of gemilas chasadim is kfura. The ultimate chesed, and therefore, so Atzmos Yosef represents ben Adam L'chaveiro. There's a fundamental difference between the two, as we mentioned. When it comes to mitzvah ben Adam L'makom, the focus is on the maisa, on the machshava, because God knows what you're thinking, no one else knows what you're thinking. When it comes to Be'edam HaChaveiro, it's all about the result, it's all about the bottom line. So by the Beis HaMikdash, God knows David did everything he can, as much as he can, and he wanted to build it. God said, you know, whatever the psukim say in Divrei Yamim, he had the blood on his hands, whatever the reasons were, he did everything possible and then some to build the Beis HaMikdash. So we know Machshava Tova Mitzaref L'Maisa. We're interested in your Machshava when it comes to Beit Adam L'Makom. But when it comes to Beit Adam L'Chaveiro, don't judge motives. Half the time, you don't even know your own motives. Forget about knowing what someone else's motives is. When it comes to Beit Adam L'Chaveiro, I can think about all I want. You know, I should have went to the hospital and visited X, Y, and Z. I should have went to the Nicham Avelim. But the bottom line is, if you didn't do it, what good are you doing? Like the example I always give is, let's say someone donated $1 billion machine, a life-saving machine. And he said, you could use it freely. There's only one condition, that make sure you put my name all over it, and I want the people to sign, see my name before and after they use it. So imagine the person's dying and says, there's only one thing that can save you, this machine. But one condition, you have to acknowledge the person who donated it. Person couldn't care less. You're saving my life. I'll even write your name 100 times if that's what it takes. The bottom line is, if a person saved the person's life, that's all they're interested in. So when it comes to Beit Adam L'Chaveiro, it's bottom line. So when it comes to Binyan Beis HaMikdash, David who started it, so that was enough, and he did everything he could. So Mizmor Shirah Chanukah Sabayis LeDavid. But when it comes to Atzmos Yosef, Yosef, we really feel good. You know what? You took me out of Mitzrayim and you threw me in the Midbar somewhere and you dumped me off in the middle of nowhere. Then thanks. Don't do me any favors. No one told you to take me out. But if you're going to, and many others, or any other example of Adam HaChaveiro, and that's why we see Mitzvah Strichas Kavana, and in fact, the Rav Yosef Engel writes the same time over there, Onis Rachmana Patrei. There's a concept in Halacha that if you do something happens under duress, you're not responsible. Let's say whether you can't do something, there's a concept of onus. That something happens under duress, you're not responsible. So he wants to claim this concept is by Ben Adam L'Makom. Let's say you wanted to do lulav, you wanted to sit in the sukkah. Okay, so you did your best, onus, and maybe we'll give you this car, but you definitely, you'll still get some type of reward because you wanted to do it. He said, when it comes to Beit Adam HaChaveiro, there's no such concept. There's wanting to help someone else and not doing it isn't going to cut it. And therefore, we don't apply onus rachmana, because the bottom line is you didn't help the guys. I'm not going to give you credit for helping him if you didn't actually do it.
So
that's the shayla. By shogeg, we know shogeg, you have to bring a karban. Right, so by onus, so the question is, like onus...
But the fact is,
it's
onus, you're not even
going
to Ari Mikvah. Right? Onus, if
you're
only
going to
Mitzvah, you
pass
from
Ari Mikvah
also. So,
or because you don't deserve the kapara. I mean, it depends. He could answer a different reason.
That's why Carl amazes.
Yeah,
but I mean, I'm sure he can't just ignore all this Rafana Pacha in all of it.
I'm saying that's his. He writes as his cloud. No, so I'm saying so how he deals with. Yeah, no, right.
But no show how Razo Mina Eitz is on this.
No, that's just show you. It's the whole point.
You should have checked. Karav Lamezik, Karia depends.
That's how you show you. Show you is if you know what you're doing, but you didn't know.
That's the whole. That's why they have five categories. The fact is every one of them is there are clearly onus situations by Misa. That's why the more onus, Karav onus, Shogeg, Karav Lamezik. So Kurla Mesa, you have the Gula Dam, and you don't have you can't use your Aramaic for the
Gula Dam. Why would it say that the Rishon Lavaris
Yeah, because you should check to see if your ax was okay.
But it's not like, mentioned there of defective.
It's clearly not pure.
Mentioned.
That seems to be what.
Right,
it was
a. Yeah, because it depends also how often, you know, what's the scenario, how often it happened, what's the, you know, that's what they talk, whether it's karva pshia, because you should, you know, that's part of the issue, whether you should have checked it. You know, was it considered normally? Because you're dealing, you know, when you're dealing with something like with sakana, so they, you know,
should be more careful.
Right, so they point that out, and that's what that's what some point out. They say derech drush. That's the pshat. We know by tefillin. We know the tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. So some point out. You know, tefillin shel yad represents action, your hands, that represents mitzvahs b'dal m'chaveiro. And tefillin shel rosh, machshava, that's represented b'dal m'makom. So they point out that, so how does it work? That basically you put on your shel yad, your shel rosh, and then you take off your shel rosh off, and then you take off shel yad. So you never left with just your shel rosh on. You only have the shel, you know, you always have. You know, you have the shel yad and the shel rosh. So that represents both categories. And at this point out that when a person is going to take on different chumras, so you should be obviously the certain basic halachas you have to keep. But when you want to take on the extra chumras between ben adam l'makom and ben adam l'chaveiro, you have to ground yourself birth of the ben adam l'chaveiro. You're never just left with the tefillin shel rosh on. You can't just be doing chumras and ben adam l'makom without having some basic benam chaveira. So the minhag of always sort of setting up, but the tefillin shel yad and rosh represents the two different categories, and you have to ground yourself in the benam chaveira first. But what is shel adam shel makom? You want to?
Exactly. But the interesting, I find in nicham benam, are you saying the key of mitzvah is only when the avol has an achama from you? In other words, if you try to nacham avol, so. You're saying that there's no kima mitzvah unless you actually were in the chamat of the oval. So your maisa doesn't.
No, it's just no. I'm saying no. I think I wouldn't say. I mean, that was just showing this. I was just overemphasizing the totsa. No, but. It's different because then there's nicham. It could get into this nicham avel and this kavod achai, this kavod amei. So it could be yeah. So I'm saying for kavod amei, you mirror. You know, you go.
I was thinking of also with Bikur Cholim, but Bikur Cholim, there's all the ideas of just you're visiting.
Then it gets in though, because there is. The point is, the mere fact that you're there, you know, is by definition.
Well, we're discussing there the purpose of the person who's doing it, not whether the person who is at the receiving end, what his reaction is. That's not the issue here.
Right.
The issue is the kavona of the person who's doing it. His kavona is to do it.
Yeah. No, it's interesting because so many people think that Nichum Mevel is go and say a makom. You know, so they make a big thing and so it's all about a makom, but they don't even think about the fact of actually, as long as they chaperon and say a makom, even if they're totally disruptive, you know, it's like they think that.
You're saying like they walk in and say a makom and leave and.
Are they almost make it seem like this is what you have to do? Without the person is the yavol is getting the chamuk.
The yikar is saying hamakom, and the visit's right. Coincidental.
Right. And somebody can actually have a conversation that actually is a chamuk to him, and the person says, "Oh, yes, you're hamakom."
The actual nachama is coincidental. It's just saying right. Hamakom is just the
right.
Key.
Right.
Yeah, John. Yeah.
I think on the question about the
chamuk
and the this is maybe controversial for the time you have left in this gentleman, but when you sit shiva for someone has extreme dementia, like so the person is really gone, and you still only sit shiva when your body dies. Like it's kind of strange, right?
No, you know, it's a new. So
this is from the Rabbi Hecht's question as to, you know, does it count you're doing bikur hacholim?
You're talking about dementia when they're alive. You mean?
So for example, say the mind is gone.
Yeah, yeah. Right? So Obviously, I see a lot of it. So actually, you know, so there is in a certain level, it is a kind of people do an emotional level. They do like an avela, even though it's not. It's The formal avelos is only when you're dead. You know, that's the halachas of nehugi avelos, but it is, from an emotional level, it happens, unfortunately, a lot today. People can have, you know, dementia for two. So therefore, you know, so, I mean, you might be mourning to yourself, and it's a type of mourning, but it's not like, but it's not the mourning, what we're talking, it's not the technical mourning.
But you're talking about mitzvah sadam lechavero.
Right.
So how can you be doing the mitzvah to the chavero, like bikocholem, when the other person is not really there?
No, but first of all, I mean, the different levels, a person at different levels could still appreciate visits. And there are a lot of demented patients.
No, I'm talking about gone. Like, the person is like on a respirator or something like that.
Yeah, but Bikur Cholim can be assisting with his illness. Now, Bikur Cholim is in the natural, it doesn't have to be emotional. If you go and the person needs to